Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of The Mystery Frequency. If you enjoy this episode, please let me know through the comments on Spotify, or through my email or social media. All links can be found in the description. Please be sure to check the archives for over 300 episodes of entertainment. And if you enjoyed this podcast, it would be great if you could follow, review, and leave a rating. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And speaking of which, please enjoy the show.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. The official slogan of San Francisco goes like this, the city that knows how. The slogan of San Francisco's favorite detective might well be, the man who knows who done it. This evening, Mike Shane and his assistant Phyllis Knight have put work behind them. They're about to leave their office in the Rust Building to meet their old friends, Inspector and Mrs. Faraday, for an evening at the movies.
Hey, hurry it up, Phil, honey, will you? Stop primping and fussing. They'll be waiting for us.
Just a second. Golly, you know, it'll be fun to see Mrs. Faraday again. It's weeks since I've heard any of her Irish stories.
Yeah, gosh, it's been weeks, months since Faraday and I managed the same evening off. I must be taking a holiday in our town.
Yeah. All set, Mike. How does my hat look?
Screwy as ever. And the face below it? Beautiful as ever.
Oh, Mike. Oh, pretend we didn't hear it. Come on, Mike.
Don't worry. It's not a client. It's after hours. Hello?
Mike, it's off. I can't go.
Oh, now, Faraday.
That's how I feel, too. But this is something special. Federal Judge Stanton has just been murdered.
Holy jumping.
Come down to headquarters, Mike. I'm afraid this is more than straight murder.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure myself. Just get down here.
Oh, hi, Sarge.
Evening, Mr. Shane. Miss Knight.
Hello.
Hello, Quinn. The inspector in his office?
Yes, sir, but I think he's busy.
So he said. Inspector. Hey.
Mike. Phyllis, come in. Come in.
Now you look all frazzled, Inspector.
I am, Phil. I'm worried. Plenty worried.
Well, come on, come on. Give with the details. When was Judge Stanton murdered?
Less than an hour ago, near as we can tell. I just got back from his house. But first, Mike, take a look at these fingerprint cards on my desk.
Mm-hmm. Fingerprints found at robbery, Jackson Street, night of the 17th.
And this one?
Housebreaking, Van Ness Avenue, night of the 21st.
And two more.
But they're burglaries, Inspector. What's the tie-up with Judge Stanton?
The judge was shot, Phil, but his house was robbed, too. I got an ugly feeling that the fingerprints we found at his place are... Oh, that's it now. Yes?
We checked the fingerprints, Inspector. They belong to Victor Ratner.
You're sure of it?
Yes, sir. Positive.
Okay, that's all. I was afraid of that.
Huh?
These fingerprints you just looked at, Mike, they belong to Victor Ratner, too.
Well, what's the matter with that? Don't they identify the killer?
Yeah, they do. But these burglaries took place last month. Ratner was released from the penitentiary only 2 days ago.
What?
It's impossible.
That's what we said. 2 years ago, Victor Ratner was sent to the pen for embezzlement. A 15-year rap. The proof was his fingerprints found in the safe. Then the last couple of weeks came four robberies. Victor Ratner's fingerprints at every one of them.
While he's still in the state penitentiary?
Yeah, he was pardoned, Phil. Wrongful conviction. Now this murder and his fingerprints again.
Well, I thought no two people in the world had the same prints.
That's the point. If two men can have the same fingerprints, our whole criminal procedure sails right out of this window right now.
Well, Inspector Flattner was released 2 days ago and the judge was murdered tonight. He's still bound to be your suspect. Haul him in and make him prove his whereabouts at the time of the killing.
I've already ordered him to be picked up. Meanwhile, I've got to go back to the judge's and finish the examination. You kids like to come along?
Oh, of course. Where the bloodhounds go, we follow.
This is the judge's study. On the flare over there by the desk is the...
Covered over with a sheet.
Yeah. Hey, the desk drawers are all pulled out, Mike. The killer must have been looking for something.
Yeah, the judge's wife said he didn't keep any valuables in here, and yet...
Where did you find Ratner's fingerprints?
On the broken glass from the terrace door. Here it is on my desk, Mike. Exhibit number 8.
Hey, this door must have been locked at the time. He broke a pane of the glass, reached inside, and turned the key, huh?
Yeah, but he was careful to wipe off the key afterwards. If he hadn't touched the glass, we wouldn't have a clue.
Well, this doesn't look like the work of a professional housebreaker to me, Inspector. All he had to do was use a little pressure and the door would have come open anyway.
Yeah, he used the same system at each house. Smashed a window or door, then in.
Say, wait a minute. I remember reading something in the paper about Ratner's conviction. Wasn't he an attorney?
Yeah, a lawyer for a loan company. He got a hold of the combination of their safe somehow and made off with almost $100,000.
Did they get the money back?
Not a nickel.
Then this doesn't make sense at all. He's got the dough stashed away somewhere. He wouldn't go in for penny ante robberies now.
Could all those burglaries be just a red herring, Mike? You know, a build-up, so we'd think tonight was just another theft with a killing on the side.
You're forgetting the main point, Angel. Ratner was safely put away in mothballs until the day before yesterday. How did his fingerprints turn up at robberies 3 weeks before he was released?
Yeah, that's a mystery good enough to bind in three-quarter Morocco.
Inspector.
Yes, Sergeant.
We just got a call from headquarters. The boys can't find Ratner anywhere.
Not at his house, huh?
No.
Better get a hold of his attorney.
Yeah, they've done that, sir. He says he hasn't seen Ratner since the day he got the pardon for him.
What do you say to that, Mike?
Well, he's probably hiding out. We'd better get on his trail fast while it's still warm.
Fine, if we only knew where to start.
We do.
Huh?
At the old homestead of Mr. Victor Ratner.
Find anything in the bedroom, Mike?
Oh, a couple of suitcases. I can't tell whether Ratner was packing or unpacking them.
No food in the kitchen. Guess he didn't plan to tarry long.
I searched his desk. All his papers date back 2 years or more. Looks like we're out of luck.
Yeah. Say, honey, do you mind turning off the kitchen light?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it.
Mike, maybe we'll have to play a waiting game. If Ratner tries to skip town, we can nab him at the depot or airport.
Oh, pretty slim chance, Inspector. He'll probably hit the highway.
Mike! Inspector,
yeah?
Here!
Coming! Something?
Yeah, this door here. Just now I noticed dirt trailing away from it. And look.
Hey, a stairway.
Must be a basement. Where's the light switch? Oh. Now, watch your step, Angel. Those high heels.
Yeah, I will.
It's a big basement. Brick floor, cupboards and shelves around the walls.
Half an inch of dust and dirt on everything.
Except the seat of this chair.
Yeah, and look. It's placed right below these cupboards. Ratner climbed up to get something out.
Well, let's have a look. Well, a couple of cameras, a tripod, glass plates, film packs, projector. The guy's a real shutter bug.
Doggone it.
What happened, Phil?
Oh, I turned my ankle on a loose brick.
Just a minute. There's more than one brick loose. Mike.
Coming.
Look, there's no mortar between these bricks.
Yeah, an area of about 3 square feet. I think we know what this means. Below these bricks, Mr. Ratner banked his $100,000.
And came back to dig it up.
Shh. Listen, upstairs.
Ratner, he's come back.
Sounds like he's heading for the kitchen.
What if he comes down here?
Quick, turn off the light.
Where? I don't see a switch.
Oh, great, it turns off from the head of the stairs.
Shh. Okay, then duck under the steps fast.
Yeah.
Now, not a sound.
Oh, good heavens, my purse. I left it hanging on that chair.
It's too late now.
Mike, it's a woman's footstep.
Hello? Who's down there? Who? Oh.
She sees Phil's purse. Hey, stop, stop.
Come on, Faraday, after it.
Holy Harry, Mike, I think we're locked in.
You think we're locked in? You know darn well we're locked in.
In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane. Ladies and gentlemen, June probably seems like an odd month to talk to you about winter driving. But many motorists are driving around right now with engines still filled with sludge from last winter. You see, cold weather means heavier moisture condensation inside your car's engine. And that means water gets into the crankcase where, with some oils, it forms thick, black, ropey sludge. Now, just draining the oil doesn't get rid of this sludge, because sludge is sticky and adheres to pistons, valves, crankshafts, and other parts. But your Union Oil Minuteman has a quick solution to this problem. He has a special solvent-action flushing oil known as Cleanse Oil, which is guaranteed to cut sludge. After draining the old, dirty oil, the Minuteman pours in a generous amount of Cleanse Oil. When the engine is started, the Cleanse Oil is pumped automatically to every working part. Cleanse Oil is harmless to your engine, but its special solvent action cuts sludge instantly. Then, when the Cleanse Oil is drained, the sludge flushes out with it, leaving your engine clean as a whistle. And with a fresh supply of Triton Motor Oil, the low-carbon paraffin-based oil, you can be sure it will remain clean for a long time. So for smoother, more economical summer driving, just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Engine Flushing Service. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and Inspector Faraday find themselves locked in the basement of a strange house, thanks to an equally strange woman.
This is no ordinary door. There's no dip to it.
Well, maybe if both of you heaved
at it... There's an easier way. We'll shoot the lock off. Stand back, Phil.
Gladly.
Ah, that did it.
You gotta find that woman.
Save your legs, Inspector. Just listen.
Yeah. But who in the blazes was that woman?
Some gal who has a key to his house. And I don't mean the cleaning woman.
Say, what's the matter with me? My brain's a smoke, dried and kippered.
Huh?
His ex-wife.
Swell, if we can't find Mr. Ratner, his ex-wife will do. Where does she live, Inspector?
Headquarters can tell us that. Vera. What's her name? Vera Miller. That was her maiden name. She may be using it again.
Okay, Inspector. So, let's find Vanishing Vera and see what she can tell us. Yes, who is it?
This the resident of Vera Miller?
It is. May we talk to her, please?
I don't know. Who are you?
I'm Inspector Faraday, Police Department.
Oh, well, come on in. Please excuse my manner. I thought it might be about something else. My name's William Miller.
Oh? A relative of Vera's?
Her brother. She's in the parlor here with a caller. Vera?
Yes?
These people want to see you. Inspector Faraday and...
Mike Shane and Phyllis Knight.
And this is Mr. Johnson.
Curran Anvil Johnson. I'm right glad to know you all.
Don't get up, please.
Miss Miller, I believe you were once married to Mr. Victor Ratner.
Is there something wrong?
We'd like very much to talk to him if we can locate him. Do you know where he is?
Well, no, I'm afraid I don't.
Mm-hmm. May we ask why you locked us in his basement a few minutes ago?
His basement?
Well, there's some mistake. Mr. Johnson and I just got back from the movie.
We just... Honey.
Just skip it, skip it. The lady says she went to a movie, so she went to a movie. Mm-hmm.
Sir, I don't like your attitude toward Miss Miller.
What do you people want of Ratner? Wasn't he pardoned and released?
The Corey approach, I see. We want to talk to him about Judge Stanton.
Judge, the one who was killed?
Marvelous. The news flashes you can get at the movies nowadays.
We heard it on the radio. Victor wouldn't do such a thing. I know he's innocent. They let him out of prison because they were wrong about his fingerprints. They're wrong again.
Well, I never trusted him. I wrote him while he was in prison that if he ever came near Vera again,
I'd... How can I get suspended?
Vera, honey, now, wait a minute. I want to talk to you.
Honey.
On my way.
Mr. Miller, you seem pretty burned up about Ratner. Perhaps you had a business deal with him once, huh?
I wish they'd left him in prison for the rest of his natural life. Vera was a fool to marry him. And now she's heading for more trouble with this Texan.
Oh, what's wrong with him?
Why, she's known him only 2 months. his soft talk, a ranch in Texas.
Mike?
Yeah?
Mike, I overheard Mr. Johnson ask her what she meant about going to the movies. He just got here ahead of us. She said she'd explain later, and then he asked what she wanted down in Ratner's basement.
Y'all don't mind. I'll tell the story myself. I just wanted to know if Vera had seen Mr. Ratner since he was sprung from prison. I think a fiancé is entitled to know these things.
Not to mention her brother.
Inspector.
Yeah, Mike?
If you've asked all your questions, I think we can leave this family love fest.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike.
It's been a pleasure to meet all of you.
One final word, Mr. Miller. Miss Miller. It's a prison offense to shield a criminal or aid in his escape. You might think that over. Good night.
You know, kids, I don't believe a thing we heard here.
All right, it's the hammiest performance I've seen since Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Still, there's a grain of truth in every lie. Bill Miller was awful anxious about Ratner and Sister Vera.
And what was she doing in that basement?
Well, what was she?
That's what we're going to find out, Angel. Remember those loose bricks in the basement? Well, I'm afraid we're going to find more than money.
How are we coming, Mike?
Just a few more bricks. Then we can pull up these planks.
Why are there planks underneath the bricks?
For support, Phil. Otherwise, the floor would cave into the hole.
There. Okay, Faraday. Up with the boards now. Pull it! Oh!
Oh! Ah! See anything yet?
Mm-hmm. Something. Maybe I can reach down and pull it up.
Mike!
A man's leg.
Here, let me grab hold. That's it. Lay him down here.
Well, this is the end of the trail, Mike. It's Ratner.
2, 3, 4 bullet holes.
Ah, a thorough job.
But Judge Stanton was murdered only an hour and a half ago. Rentner couldn't have killed him.
Not unless he committed suicide and buried himself under the bricks.
I wonder how long he's been dead.
There's a newspaper here in his coat pocket. Maybe that'll tell us something. Oh, the bullet went right through it. Evening paper, and the date is night before last.
He wouldn't carry an old newspaper in his pocket, Mike. That means he was killed the day he got out of prison.
Ratner wasn't murdered for nothing. There must be some tie-up with Judge Stanton.
There is, Ratner's fingerprints. It wasn't any ghost that left that calling card on the judge's glass door tonight.
We know that, Mike, but that's all we do know.
Faraday, you said those fingerprints were found at 4 different burglaries.
Yes.
Okay, we've got to recheck every one of them. Now, where's the nearest?
Let's see, we're on 27th Avenue. There's one up... Uh-oh.
Huh?
A.J. Bremner.
Where's he?
Oh, you'll razz the whiskers off me, Mike. He's on 26th Avenue, right behind us. In fact, the two backyards join.
Inspector Faraday, will you please open that clam-like face of yours and tell us these things?
I know, Mike, but I got so wound up on Judge Stanton, I clean forgot the robberies.
Backdoor neighbors, eh?
Ah, but he won't tell you anything, Mike. He's as sore as a goat of the department. Keeps ringing up every day to ask if we found the stuff he had stolen.
Sounds like he's keeping tabs for a reason.
All right, Inspector. Call headquarters and have a man bring out all your exhibits. We'll meet him at A.J. Bremner's. Now, please, please, Mr. Bremner.
I've paid taxes in this city for 25 years, and what do I get for it? My house is robbed, and the police do nothing. Nothing. Isn't that right, Margaret?
Yes, dear.
Now, look, Mr. Bremner, I'm not a policeman. I'm a private detective. If I can help you get your stuff back,
I've had enough talk. I want results. Don't we, Margaret?
Yes, dear.
We just want to look at that smash window, Mr. Bremner, to see the glass.
I've replaced it. We weren't going to freeze, were we, Margaret?
Yes, dear. No, dear.
What did you do with the old glass?
I don't know.
I think I threw it in the trash can in the backyard.
Then let's go to the backyard.
Well, I suppose I'll have to show you. Back door is this way.
Come on, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
This way you put the glass, Margaret?
Yes, dear.
All right. Now if we can pick out the glass...
Oh, wait a minute. I'll hold the flashlight.
All right.
By the way, how many years was that fellow Ratner sentenced to?
15 years.
And I think he'd be willing to sell that house of his.
You interested in buying?
Well, it's a good rental property.
Here you are, Inspector. All the glass I could find.
All right. Now the pieces you brought with you, Sergeant. Well, let's put them all together on the pavement here.
Beats me what you people are up to.
There's something wrong, Mike. They won't all fit.
Well, that's no great surprise. Here, Inspector. Here, feel these two pieces of glass.
Hmm.
What about them?
Well, one of them is your exhibit piece with Ratner's fingerprints, Inspector. But this other glass is at least an eighth of an inch thicker than the glass with the fingerprints.
I'm beginning to smell a rat.
Yes. These fingerprints were faked and planted here and at all the other houses.
And the man who did it killed Judge Stanton.
Which is still a king-size mystery.
Mr. Bremner, can we get to Ratner's house through your backyard?
Yes, yes. There's a gate behind the garage. Say, if you fellas don't mind, I'd like to go along and watch you work this out. Wouldn't you, Margaret?
Yes,
Dad. Oh, I'm sorry. Not at this stage. We'll give you an invitation a little later on, I promise you.
Mike, that sounds ominous.
Now, don't twist my words, Angel. The killer has made his first mistake. Now we'll trick him into his last one.
We'll return to Mike and Phil in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that your selection of motor oil determines the amount of carbon formed in your engine? Yes, that's right. You see, nearly all carbon is caused by the lubricating oil and not the gasoline, as so many people think. But some oils stand up better than others, resist oxidation better, and hence form less carbon. And by means of laboratory tests, motor oils may be measured as to the amount of carbon they will form. Now, you'll be interested to know, therefore, that Triton motor oil, in a competitive test with the seven leading motor oils sold here in the West, contained 38% fewer carbon-forming elements than the next best oil, 86% less than the average. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to being a 100% pure paraffin-based lubricant, Triton motor oil very definitely gives you maximum protection against carbon. That means better mileage, fewer repair bills for your car. That's because Triton motor oil is made by an exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it's been patented by Union Oil Company. Remember, when you buy Triton motor oil for your car, you are buying less carbon. You can buy Triton motor oil at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector are once more in the basement tomb of Victor Ratner. Spread out on the tool bench are the dead man's cameras and photographic accessories.
As you can see, Inspector, he's got two candid cameras here, as modern as he could buy 2 years ago.
Yeah, darn expensive.
Now, all his equipment fits these cameras except one item. This stack of old-style glass film plates.
That's right, Mike. They're way too big.
Ah, but maybe Ratner kept them for a purpose. Honey, take this plate and blow some dust across it.
Okay.
Now, here, Inspector.
Yeah?
You take another and do the same.
Okay.
That's it. Now, what do you see?
Fingerprints. A whole set of them.
As neat and clean as the files at headquarters.
Yes, Inspector, yes. This is where Ratner's fingerprints have been coming from. Neatly stacked away down here, then planted in the smashed glass at every one of those robberies.
Well, I'll be it.
I'll bet you this is what Ratner had in mind. He was arrested because his fingerprints were found on a safe. So, he built himself an alibi. He knew the state would probably release him if the same fingerprints turned up while he was in prison.
Well, then he must have had help, Mike. Somebody to rob houses and scatter this glass for him.
Aha, check. And the same person killed Judge Stanton tonight. He planted these fingerprints so we'd go looking for Ratner.
And never find him because he was already dead and buried.
Mike, what are you staring at?
The body. Nobody knows Ratner is dead except us and the killer. Ah, this may be a little ghoulish, but... Here. See this ring of Ratner's?
Yeah.
It's big and flashy and an odd design.
Oh, don't put it on your finger. Oh, Mike.
Now, we'll gather our suspects together. We'll meet at Judge Stanton's house. We'll have an innocent little talk. Doesn't matter what we say, so long as we keep the secret of Ratner's death.
I get it. The killer will see you wearing his ring.
Right. And what do you think will pass through his mind, knowing he left Ratner buried under a layer of bricks and 2-inch planks?
Guns Sorry we had to call all you people together at this hour of the night, but it seemed necessary.
Well, why bring us to Judge Stanton's house? If Ratner killed him, that's not our concern.
It happened to suit our convenience, Mr. Miller.
Excuse me for asking, sir, but what am I doing here? Mr. and Mrs. Bremner and I just seem to be what you might call excess baggage.
Well, I don't mind. It's all very interesting, especially if I get my stolen property back. Isn't that right, Margaret?
Yes, dear.
Miss Miller, would you tell us when you last went up to the penitentiary to see your ex-husband?
Oh, then you know.
Just answer the question, please. Your brother would learn about it anyway.
Well, it must have been 2 months ago.
Did he give you anything or ask you to do something for him?
No.
And you, Mr. Miller, when did you last visit him in prison?
Are you trying to be funny? I'd never go near him.
Then it ought to please you to know that Ratner never should have been pardoned. He did embezzle that money.
I don't believe it. They made a mistake.
No, Miss Miller. Victor Ratner's fingerprints were fakes. They were planted at those house robberies.
You're just trying to trick us.
Please, honey, you mustn't rile yourself up.
There'll be no further cause for it, Mr. Johnson. We've told her she refuses to cooperate. That's all we can do.
Yep, that's all for tonight. You folks can go home now.
You mean all this for nothing?
Yeah, the officer at the door will let you out.
Okay, Faraday, fill us out the back way. We've got to race the murderer to that basement.
Well, I hope this is the last time we have to climb down into this basement. I can feel the moss sprouting on my north side.
Well, we'd better hide behind the staircase.
Phil, turn off your flashlight.
Okay.
I hope this worked, Mike. Nobody said a word about that ring you were wearing.
They wouldn't, but I flashed it enough.
You scratched your nose like you had the 7-year itch.
He's got to come back. He's got to see if that body has been disturbed.
You taking any bets on who shows up?
I'll put my money on Vera and her brother. She looked at Luckers in this basement, remember? And Brother Bill, there's something awful fishy about him.
Oh, well, I'll risk a dollar on Mr. Bremner, and yes, dear. He's too curious for me.
I think you'll both lose your bets if I...
Shh, the front door. Jeepers, if they turn on the lights...
There they go now. Mike, your gun, I'm ready.
Put up your hands.
Huh?
Or you...
Mike, look out!
Oh. Hand!
The next time it may not be your hand, Mr. Johnson.
I don't know what this means.
Don't you? You're the only one who knew Ratner was dead and where he was buried.
Well, this is all wrong.
No, Mr. Johnson, no. You are all wrong. And there's just one way to put it right. And you know what it is.
I thought you kids had gone home.
Oh, no, not until we hear Johnson's confession.
He just dictated it. He admits he was Ratner's cellmate up at the penitentiary, released 2 months ago. Ratner got him to do the robberies and work the fingerprint deal with him.
Well, what about Judge Stanton?
It was revenge, Mike. Stanton was the judge who sent him up. Johnson had big plans for this fingerprint racket, so he double-crossed Ratner.
I'll say. He even tried to marry his ex-wife.
Oh, I doubt it, honey. Probably just playing around with Vera to learn where that money was hidden.
That's just what he said, Mike, but the girl was innocent.
So, Mike, the inspector and I bet on everybody but Johnson. You said we'd lose. How'd you know?
Well, I got to thinking over that first talk we had with him. Our cattleman from Texas wouldn't use a jailbird's word for getting out of prison. He didn't say Ratner was pardoned. He said he was sprung. Of course, that wasn't proof, but it made me suspicious.
I see. Well, I guess that winds up the case.
Yeah. Thanks a million for helping me out, kid. Sorry it ruined the evening.
Oh, that's all right, Inspector. There's always another night for fun.
Well, what's the matter with this one, Angel?
Hmm? You know, I knew I shouldn't have said that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seventh war loan will soon be over. We believe that you know the urgent reasons for buying extra war bonds, for making that extra effort to show how well we know here in the West that the war is still going on. This message is not an effort to sell you on buying extra war bonds. We don't believe there's an American alive who needs selling on the subject of war bonds. But we do want to remind you that the time to do your part in this renewed offensive is growing short. So if you've not already subscribed to the Intensified War on Japan by buying bonds for the 7th War Loan Drive, please do so soon. Thank you. Tune in again next week at 8 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as Inspector Faraday. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. As San Francisco's busiest private detective, Mike Shane can be found at almost any hour at almost any spot in the city, except one, perhaps, his apartment. Yet right now, that is just where we find him. Of course, he's there only long enough to pick up his overcoat and two theater tickets. Waiting impatiently in the hall doorway is his attractive assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Mike, what's keeping you?
I can't find the tickets.
Oh, fine. Fine. The master detective.
Oh, I know. I left them in my other suit.
Say, Mike.
Hmm?
Somebody's coming up your stairs. A strange woman.
Yeah? I don't know any strange women.
You better not. Your date's with me tonight.
Good evening. Is this the apartment of Michael Shane?
Yes, it is.
And you're Mrs. Shane?
Well, No, I'm his assistant, Phyllis Knight.
Oh, I'd like to see Mr. Shane. It's very, very important.
Well, we were just going
I'm
out.
I'm sorry to impose, but I'm afraid it's a matter of life and death. Would you tell him that, please?
That's all right. I heard it.
Oh, Mr. Shane, you are Mr. Shane?
Yes. Come in.
My name is Mary Noble. I arranged to be in your neighborhood tonight, Mr. Shane. I had to talk to you.
Yes? Oh, won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you. I brought my friends to visit some people across the street at the El Tovar Apartments. Then I slipped away so I could see you without them suspecting.
I don't understand. Without who suspecting?
Mr. and Mrs. Pringle and Chico.
Chico?
That's Mr. Sabadell.
Oh.
I told them that I'd stay in the car, that I needed fresh air. You see, Uncle Briggs lets me go out only with his friends.
Hmm?
People who will spy on me and tell him what I do. Chico says he loves me, but I know that I'm not pretty. He wants my money.
Now, just a second. You said Uncle Briggs. Would that be Briggs Noble?
Yes, the rich, the upright Mr. Briggs Noble. I'm his niece, and he's trying to poison me.
Oh, now, really?
You don't mean that, I'm sure.
Oh, but I do. For the past 2 weeks, I've had strange sick spells. I'm sure it's the poison.
What does your doctor say?
I haven't had a doctor.
Hmm?
I've never told anyone, but I can't stand it any longer. Uncle Briggs wants me out of the way. I'm a burden.
I can't imagine you being a burden to a millionaire.
That's what's so strange. He's rich, yet he wants more and more money. Next month I'll be 21, and then I inherit my father's money. It's in trust for me. Uncle Briggs wants my money. That's the only way I can explain it.
And just what do you want me to do?
Talk to my uncle. Warn him that you know everything. You'll protect me. Be my bodyguard.
Oh, now, Miss Noble, I'm not that kind of a detective.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I can't say. I'm not sure. I might talk to your uncle, but I'm certain you've imagined things.
I see. I thought you really helped people. But I was wrong. No one will help me. No one.
Miss Noble, now, if you'll tell me... Wait a minute. Miss Noble!
Well, that gal certainly got off the merry-go-round backwards. Mm-hmm.
She seemed perfectly reasonable when she first walked in.
But that talk of being a burden on a rich uncle, spied on by his friends and poisoned.
I don't know. She walked the fence between sanity and, well, the opposite.
She was scared, Blue, anyway. She almost got me going.
People do talk strangely when they're in terror. She said those friends were across the street.
Mm-hmm. The Altivar.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you what. Let's go after her.
There. There she is, Mike, crossing the street.
Yeah. Miss Noble. Mary Noble. Mary. Mary, stop!
Mike, that taxi! Mike!
Honest, mister. She fell right in front of my cab. I didn't run over her.
Listen, she's dead, isn't she?
I'm telling you, I saw her fall.
You mean she tripped?
No, no. She slumped in a heap right in front of me. I didn't hit her.
Maybe he's right, Mike. Look at her dress here. There's no dirt from the wheels. She wasn't dragged.
Sure, I stopped in time. My bumper hardly touched her.
Yes. Yes, it's Mary.
Hurry, hurry.
Oh, heavens.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. She's dead.
She's dead. Oh, William, I told you we shouldn't have left her in the car.
Well, she said she wanted some fresh air. How could we know this would happen?
I take it you are Mr. and Mrs. Pringle?
Why, yes. Do we know you, sir?
No, I'm Mike Shane, a private detective. Oh. This girl just left my apartment.
Oh, so that's where she went.
Huh?
She got out of the car and said she wanted to take a walk.
You her chauffeur?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't understand, sir. Why did Mary go to you?
She thought somebody was trying to kill her, that her life was in danger.
Ah, rubbish. Tommy rot. The girl imagined things.
Maybe not, Mr. Pringle. You're a good friend of my boss, but I don't mind
shut
saying...
Oh, shut up, Dan, for heaven's
sake. Please, gentlemen, gentlemen. Poor Mary. She lies dead. What must we do?
We must go call an ambulance.
We'll call more than an ambulance, honey. We'll call the inspector.
Don't misunderstand me, Mike. It's a sad case, but you admit yourself she was neurotic. Poison business was all in her mind.
Possibly, Inspector. Possibly, but the only way you can be sure of it is to investigate.
And you asked for an autopsy, Mike. All right, I've ordered it against my own judgment. That's as far as I can go.
You know, we really don't have any proof, Mike. Maybe she just had a heart spell and fell in front of the taxi.
Police certainly can't investigate Briggs Noble on such weak evidence. He comes from one of the oldest families in San Francisco. He's rich, society. Murder isn't his line, Mike.
All right, Inspector, all right. But will you do one thing more for me?
What is it?
Go out with us to see Briggs Noble.
Oh, Mike, you're the most stubborn. We've got to know what we're talking about first.
I'll do the talking if you want. I'll take the blame. But I want you there in case.
Wait a second. Yes?
Autopsy report, sir. Mary Noble. Examination of stomach shows heavy dose of poison.
Mike, you were right.
Sergeant, what was the poison? Arsenic?
Well, I can't tell, sir. Autopsy surgeon says the victim's hands are clenched tight and toes turned under. He says that the same symptoms of a rare native poison from South America.
I see. Mike, is there anything you want to ask him?
No. No, just tell him if they find anything else to call you at the home of Briggs Noble.
In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane. Ladies and gentlemen, sludge in an engine is terrible stuff. It sticks to the pistons, valves, and other working parts and it slows down and interferes with smooth engine performance. The sludge formed by some oils is so sticky that it doesn't ordinarily drain out when the oil is changed, but continues to accumulate. The only way to get rid of it is to have your engine flushed out occasionally. Your Union Oil Minuteman can perform this service for you quickly and cheaply. He has a special solvent action flushing oil known as Cleanse Oil. Now, Cleanse Oil is harmless to your engine, but it cuts the sludge in a hurry. So when the Cleanse Oil is drained out, the sludge flushes right out with it, leaving the engine nice and clean. Then, with a fresh supply of pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil, you're all set for hundreds of miles of clean, safe engine operation. Just drive in wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76 and ask for Union Oil Engine Flushing Service. Thank you. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have just entered the ornate library of Briggs Noble. Noble stands in front of the fireplace.
This is the first time I've had the pleasure of meeting you, Mr. Shane. I'm told you already know my friends here.
Yes, yes, but the inspector doesn't.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle, Mr. Savadell, and of course my chauffeur, Dan Casey.
How do you do?
I imagine, Mr. Shane, that you've come here to tell me my niece appealed to you for protection.
Yes, she did, Mr. Noble. I told your friends that.
Yes. Oh, poor girl. I never understood her. She was so moody. I tried to make her happy. Gave her everything she asked for, except the one thing she really wanted. A pretty face. So she chose the final remedy.
You mean she committed suicide?
What else? She threw herself under a taxi cab.
It's not that simple, Mr. Noble. The autopsy shows she was not killed by the taxi.
Really?
No, she was poisoned.
What? Poison? Oh. What?
Quite bent on death, wasn't she?
Perhaps not, sir. You see, we think she was murdered.
Oh, no. No.
Did she have any enemies, Mr. Noble?
None. Nor many friends. I suppose that was the trouble.
Do any of you know if she was sick during the past couple of weeks?
Why, yes. I remember one day. I was driving her and Mr. Savadell. She almost fainted. You remember it, sir?
I remember.
Did she tell you, Mr. Savadell, that she planned to see a detective tonight?
No. I come in, Mr. and Mrs. Pringle are with her. I give Maria a box of candy. We make small talk.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps saying we must all go visit some friend. Well, that is all. It's difficult to remember. Mm.
Mr. Noble, your niece said she was to come into an inheritance on her 21st birthday. Where will that money go now?
Well, I'm the last member of the family. It'll come to me.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I know.
My family has had a tragic history. All violent deaths. Mm. My brother Edward died in a shipwreck off China. My nephew, Grant Noble, disappeared in his plane over Brazil. Dodd Noble, Mary's father, was crushed in a train wreck.
Aren't the women alive?
No. Edward and Dodd married, but their wives are gone, too. That's been very, very depressing.
Mr. Noble, it's time to be frank with you. Your niece came to me for protection from you. She said you were trying to poison her.
Why, that's fantastic, Mr.
She thought that about me. Poor girl. I told you she had strange moods.
It's a very weak explanation, sir. You admit she had no enemies and that you would inherit her estate.
Why should I want her money? I have more now than I want. You gentlemen don't realize the penalties of wealth.
That's neither here nor there, sir. Mary Noble was poisoned. She named you. It's my duty to determine the facts.
I see, Inspector, that you're determined to make me out a murderer. All I can say is this. I'm not guilty.
But, Mr. Noble...
Furthermore, if you insist upon bringing charges against me, I'm a man of wealth and power. I can employ the best legal counsel. I think you'd look very embarrassing in court. It would not benefit your reputation.
I see. Thank you for the warning, sir. And good night.
Well, I don't mean to tell you boys your own business. But why didn't you search the house for poison?
Well, for one thing, the killer would be smart enough to remove it. Second, I don't think Noble is our man. He has no motive.
Don't tell me the brave inspector is scared out.
No. Look at it this way, Mike.
Huh?
Poison is one of the subtlest types of murder.
Mm-hmm.
The killer figures that because nobody sees him actually give the victim poison, no jury will convict him on circumstantial evidence. Noble has a perfect alibi. She committed suicide. He ought to know. He's our uncle.
If it were suicide, the girl would hardly run to Mike to protect her life and then take poison.
Unless she hated her uncle enough to try to frame him with her murder.
Well, let's get rid of this suicide alibi right now. Inspector,
If she took poison, it must have been in some container.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't find anything suspicious in her purse, but she would have to leave the bottle someplace. Now, where was she just before she died?
In your apartment. But she didn't swallow anything there.
And before that, she was in her car. So how about giving that a quick once-over, huh?
Okay, by me. Suppose it's the car over there by the driveway?
Well, we'll find out.
Uh-huh. It's a limousine with a chauffeur's compartment.
Here, here's the light switch.
See anything, Mike?
Magazines, lap robe, newspapers and stuff. Now, there's nothing under this cushion. No, no bottle.
Well, then she didn't have any poison with her in the car.
That still doesn't rule out suicide.
Hey, wait a minute, Inspector.
What?
We've been a couple of dopes. Mary accused her uncle. We accepted that and forgot everyone else.
Got anybody in mind?
Yes, the autopsy report said Mary's hands and toes were curled up tight, the symptoms of a South American poison. Who in that house there is a Latin?
Savadel, of course.
That's enough for me, kids. We're making a round trip right now.
But of course, gentlemen, I am from South America. My father was a trader on the Amazon River.
Then maybe it's more than coincidence that Mary was killed by a rare native poison from South America.
What? Why, you didn't tell us that. A poison from... Oh, Santa Maria. Gentlemen, this is bad.
You're telling us.
Oh, no, you do not understand. You have not been in this room before. Look on the walls. Mr. Noble has poison spear, poison arrow, poison darts.
Yeah.
All from South America.
So, what about this, Mr. Noble?
It's true.
Oh, fine.
Pringle brought them to me from Ecuador. They were poisoned, but not now. I had the stuff all soaked off when I mounted them.
Mr. Pringle, is it possible to use that poison after it's been removed?
Well, I don't know. The natives in South America use a number of poisons. They act in different ways.
I can assure you that Mary did not die of poison from this collection.
Ah?
Where she procured it is a question for you detectives.
You still insist it was suicide?
I do.
Mike?
Hmm?
Maybe there's another way we can settle that.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, Mary seems to have been a very lonely girl. It's very common for lonely girls to keep diaries.
Hmm?
Well, if Mary kept one, perhaps it would tell us what she intended to do.
Yes, yes, yes. I gave her a diary for Christmas. She always kept it on the top of the desk up in her room.
Swell, then up to the bedroom we go.
That's her desk over there by the window.
And we'll find it on top, huh?
That's right. It's the big green and gold book.
Well, I don't see it, Mike.
Maybe it's in the drawer.
No. No, just the usual stuff. Well, it's not here, Mr. Noble.
Oh, that's very strange. Could she have hidden it?
Well, I don't know if it's important enough to make a search right now. We'll go on with the questions.
Noble, do you mind
if... You're going?
Well, yes. My wife and I'd like to get home. If there's nothing we can do for you, we'll say goodnight.
Well, the inspector may not have done with you.
Oh, I think so. If we need you, Mr. Noble can give us your address and phone number.
Yes, of course. Well, good night, then.
Mrs. Pringle, one moment, please.
Pardon?
Your purse. Hasn't it taken on weight very suddenly?
What?
May I look inside, please?
Why, this?
Well, Mrs. Pringle?
A diary.
Well, I didn't know. Mr. Noble motioned to me to open my purse, and he slipped something in. I didn't know it was a diary. You see, it's a different color.
I'll admit it. I mislaid you all. I slipped the diary into her purse while you were searching the desk.
It certainly doesn't help your case, Mr. Noble.
I didn't know what peculiar ideas Mary might have written down. I wanted to protect her memory. And yes, my reputation.
Mike?
Hmm?
Did you read anything in it?
Nothing very unusual so far. No mention of suicide. Mr. Savadell, I gather that you proposed to Mary.
Oh, many times.
We never followed up our questions with you either, sir.
Well, I know what you have in mind, but you are wrong. I killed the girl I love? No.
Mr. Inspector, excuse me. I realize this diary episode with my wife looked suspicious. But since Mr. Noble has admitted the fault, I think we're cleared. Would you let us go home now? Night's been a great strain on my wife.
Well, we'd all like to go
home.
Well,
I wouldn't ask it, sir, but my wife is not in good health.
I see. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, certainly, by all means.
All right, Mr. Pringle.
Thank you very much. Good night,
good
everybody.
Night. Good night.
Yeah, good night. Good night.
And now, Mike?
Wait. Okay. Now, Mr. Noble, if you please, the address of Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I suppose you boys know this may be a wild goose chase.
Oh, I don't think so, Angel. The Pringles were a little too anxious to get home.
And I'm still not satisfied about that diary in the purse. They put on quite an innocent act, the way Noble came to their rescue.
Yeah. There's the house, number 1511.
Yeah, but it's all dark.
That's funny. We drove slowly so we'd get here ahead of them. We wanted to catch them with whatever they're up to.
Wait, Inspector. There's a light in the garage.
Yeah. Okay, stop your engine, Mike.
Close that door gently, Mike.
Okay. Oh. Now, leave us walk on the grass so they won't hear us.
And keep in the shadows.
Look. Look. They're both in the garage.
Let's cross the driveway.
What in blazes are they doing? They got a bucket of...
Uh-oh. Yeah. Pringle's got some of those javelins. Poison javelins.
Soaking them in the bucket.
All right. Let's make an entrance.
This water isn't hot enough. It's got to be boiling.
Well, I'll go heat a kettle then.
Don't bother, Mrs. Pringle. You're in enough hot water right now.
William!
Shane! Inspector! What's the meaning of this?
So you cook the spear points in hot water to extract the poison?
I don't know. I was just trying to find out, to see if it still had power.
Mike, there's a car coming up the driveway.
Who is it? Why is he blowing the horn?
Oh, I don't... Hey, cut it out! Get off that horn!
There's something wrong. Come on.
There's a man slumped over the steering wheel.
I'll pull him off the horn. Okay, mister. Raise up.
Holy jump.
It's Savadell.
Yes, unconscious.
But how? Who?
Here's the answer. Remember the symptoms of that South American poison? Tight, clenched hands? Look.
We'll return to Mike and Phil in just a moment. Friends, it's pretty safe to say that carbon is the number one enemy of your automobile engine. Carbon burns valves, gums up piston rings, and may lead to expensive repair bills. Therefore, anything that reduces carbon formation is of interest to careful drivers. And that's just what Triton Motor Oil does. Yes, that's right. Triton Motor Oil cuts down carbon. Why? Well, nearly all carbon comes from the lubricating oil, and not from the gasoline, as so many people think. But all lubricating oils are not the same in their carbon-forming tendencies. In fact, in a recent comparative test made with the 7 leading motor oils sold here in the West, Triton contained 38% fewer carbon-forming elements than the next best oil, 86% less than the average. The secret of Triton's superiority lies in the Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent refining process, a process so valuable that it's been patented by Union Oil Company. So, friends, with mechanics as scarce as they are today, why not take advantage of the extra protection the 100% pure paraffin-based Triton motor oil will give you against carbon? You can buy Triton motor oil at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. An ambulance has carried the unconscious Savadell to the hospital. Mike, Phyllis, and the inspector have returned to the Pringle garage with Mr. and Mrs. Pringle.
I know it looks bad, gentlemen, but you didn't give us a chance to explain.
Well, you've got your chance now, Mr. Pringle. Make the most of it.
You were out here in your garage trying to get poison off two South American hunting spears. What for?
Well, because they're the same type spears I brought Noble from Ecuador. I wanted to collect the poison and send it to the police.
So you people could compare it with the poison found in Mary's stomach.
Yes.
Oh, you're suddenly very helpful, Mrs. Pringle, after you tried to smuggle Mary's diary away from the police.
But I didn't mean to. That's what made William and I think Mr. Noble might be guilty after all.
Looks to me like all three of you are in the same boat.
At least we don't have to consider Savadell any longer.
Yes. As I see it, Savadell was really in love with Mary. He tore over here to the Pringles for the same reason we did, because he figured they were in cahoots with Noble.
Then collapsed in his car from the same poison.
Okay, but which of these three did it? And is the poison from these three spears?
Wait a minute. I got a new angle, Inspector. Mary was killed by the poison. Savadell got enough of it to send him to the hospital, but nobody else has keeled over tonight.
That's right.
Then what did Mary and Savadell eat or drink that nobody else touched?
Did all of you people eat dinner together?
Yes, we did.
Well, then it's not the food. Did either of you see Mary or Savadell drink anything which you didn't?
Not that I remember.
Well, they must have a food or drink or something that... Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. How about candy? Savadell said he brought Mary a box tonight.
Oh, he always did. Mary was a candy fiend. Ate chocolates all day long.
Did you eat any tonight?
Oh, no. They're much too sweet for me.
And you, Mrs. Pringle?
I never touched chocolates.
Then they did eat something which you didn't.
If Mary always ate chocolates, that would be an ideal way to give her the poison. The sugar and the stuff might slow down the effect. We may be wrong, but we've got to find that box of chocolates.
Well, the last I saw of it, Mary and Mr. Savadell had it with them in the car.
But we searched the car, Mike.
Yes, honey, yes, but we were looking for a bottle of poison. We weren't thinking of candy. There was an awful lot of stuff in that car. We've got to look again, and it better be fast.
I put the car in the garage here just a minute ago. If I'd known you fellows wanted to look at it...
That's all right, Dan. That's all right. Thanks for letting us in.
Sure. Anything else I can do for you?
No, thanks, Dan.
Okay, if you want me, I'll be in my room. It's right overhead.
All right. Okay, Dan. Thanks.
We better look good this time, Mike.
Yeah.
You need more light in there?
No, no. Did you find anything, Inspector?
No.
Nor I. Just the same stuff I found before.
It's hopeless, Mike. No killer would poison the girl and leave a box of chocolates high and dry for the police. He wouldn't be that dumb.
It isn't a question of dumbness, Inspector. It's a question of time.
But he'd still get rid of the chocolates. We don't know where to look for him.
Now, let me think. He wouldn't throw the chocolates out of the car. Somebody might pick them up and eat them.
That means he must have brought them back here.
Think, Inspector, think. Would he destroy the chocolates or hide them?
He'd destroy them.
That means the box, too. He'd have to burn it.
I saw an incinerator on this side of the garage.
Lead us to it, Angel.
Mike, you got a hold of something. Well, pull it. Come on, pull it out.
There. Here you are.
The box of chocolates. Open it up.
They're mashed up a bit, but we can analyze them, and if the fingerprints aren't too mussed over...
They probably are. Wait a minute, honey.
Yeah?
Back at my apartment, didn't Mary say she had told no one else but you and me that her uncle was trying to poison her?
Yeah, that's right.
Yet one other person tonight seemed to know something about it. When we were looking at Mary's body, he made a crack about Noble. It was Dan Casey.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Shane.
Yeah, do you mind if we come in for a minute, Dan?
Why, glad to have you.
Dan, tonight when we found Mary Noble's body, I heard you start to tell Mr. Pringle that your boss could stand some investigating.
I guess I was right, wasn't I?
Perhaps, but before Mary came to me, she hadn't told her fears to a living soul. Yet you were able to name Briggs Noble.
Well, you know, that's just one of those things.
Mind if we take a little look around your room, Dan?
Now, hold on. What is it you want?
Well, here's one thing we want on your dresser. This dish of chocolates here.
What of it? Miss Mary gave them to me.
You mind eating a piece?
No, of course not.
That's it. Oh, by the way, I got a few more chocolates here in my pocket. It's the same kind.
Huh?
They had a few ashes on them, but I cleaned them off. Good as new.
Ashes?
Yes, from the incinerator. But I'll just add them to your dish here and mix them all around like that. Now, would you eat another?
Yeah.
Go on. Eat a piece. Eat two or three.
No. No, I won't.
No. I didn't think you would. Okay, Inspector, I think this is where you take over.
¶¶
I insist. You must have a drink. A cup of peace between the inspector and myself.
Well, I guess I would drink to that.
I can understand your suspicions of me, gentlemen, when I kept telling you it was suicide.
But what gets me, Mr. Noble, is how you could employ a chauffeur for months and not recognize him as your own nephew.
You forget I hadn't seen him for over 10 years. When he disappeared in his plane over Brazil, he was hardly more than a boy. Mm. He was dead. The whole family thought he was dead.
But, Mr. Noble, he was Mary's cousin. Could he still inherit her money?
Certainly. The inheritance was so arranged that it would go either to him or, if dead, to me.
So he planned to disappear after tonight and come back in a few months as the long-lost heir. Quite a scheme. Chocolate-coated murder.
Say, speaking of that, do you think there's a candy store open at this hour? I'd like to buy Phil a box of chocolates.
No, thanks, no. After tonight, I've lost my sweet tooth.
Oh, but maybe when you see him, honey, nice, big, luscious bonbon.
Mike Shane, you haven't given me a box of chocolates in years. If you do it now, I'll know what to expect.
Oh, no, you won't, Angel. Oh, no, you won't.
Tune in again next week at 8 for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
Thank you for listening, and please don't forget to follow, review, and rate.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.